Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment, serial data, and serial sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. Oh my God, I have such a great show for you. I've got Sheena Shea. We recorded a great interview. It's so juicy, all about Vanderpump Rules, the Valley, everything going on, what people are saying about her, how she deals with it. But first, let me just talk a little bit about the Kate Middleton, because the theories are just, there's so many. From Nostradamus predictions. So I saw, I'm just going to tell you everything I saw. These are just theories floating around the internet. Take what you want from it. To get you guys up to date, she hasn't been seen for months. There's so many different things of, you know, she was rushed to the hospital. So how could this be a planned surgery? But is it plastic surgery that took too long, but then it would be planned and you would plan that out? No one's visited her. No one has seen the kids. What is happening? So I just want to go through some of the crazy ones. Talked about plastic surgery and a BBL. Don't think it's that. Could it be abdominal surgery that she had complications? Does she have a colostomy bag? Doesn't want to be out in person. Who was the woman we saw in the car? Really, really she? Or is it somebody else? Is she with Shelly Miskovich? Is she on The Masked Singer? Okay, that was one that people are saying, she's doing Masked Singer. Come on, you guys, not crazy. Of course, someone did the photoshopping. And then she said, oh, I was just playing around with Photoshop. Don't make anyone alarmed. Well, then do a video being like, hey, guys, I never do, you know, selfies, but totally fine. Obviously, something's really wrong. And as the days go on, it makes people even more nervous about it. So there were always these rumors that William had had an affair with this woman, Rose Hanbury, who was a friend, close friend. I believe one of her children was actually in their wedding. She's had some children since. And so one of the biggest rumors is that she did, in fact, have an affair with William, which produced a child or two. And that this is happening. It's going to come out. She had the children. They want to be together. And this is very, you know, Camilla 2.0 situation. And Kate may have found out and had a nervous breakdown. And they are somewhat manipulating this soft launch of her so that people will be prepared for her to come. The other thing is, I've also read or heard that if Prince William was to take the throne, they would have to be divorced before he did that, or they couldn't be getting divorced while it's happening. Something about that. So a lot of people are thinking it's around this other woman, and if in fact their marriage is in a state of no repair, and what would that mean? And then the other one was Nostradamus, who predicted all these things. I saw this article, don't know if it's true, but that he had predicted that there would be an unlikely person, like far down the reign of who could be king that will take over after Charles. And it's not William and it's not Harry. So it would be Edward. So that's not Prince Andrew. That's the younger brother who's really led a pretty exemplary life. So those are all the crazy things that are going on. And the other one is just they want this press for themselves to stay relevant. I don't know. Very, very strange. But I do really hope that medically and mentally that, of course, she is okay and her kids are okay. And whether the marriage lasts or not, we just hope that she's fine. Meanwhile, Meghan Markle has started a lifestyle brand. It's kind of a weird name. It's called American Riviera Orchard. And she's also supposed to be doing a cooking show with Netflix. And, you know, she has chickens. She wasn't the first person to get chickens. I was. And I don't know, she makes jams or something. You know who also makes jams is on Real Housewives of Miami. Julia, who is now turned opera singer, is also a jam maker. And she wants to sell her jams for $30 a jar. So I don't know who's buying these jams, but whatever. So she's doing that. And then, of course, if it's a hit, I'm sure she'll have a line of stuff, you know, probably in Target or whatever. Who knows? But she's back. And also her blog Tig is back. And of course, they have not given any word about Kate. So, I mean, it's pretty juicy, all of it. And it might be in the end that Meghan and Harry are like, yeah, we told you so. It was fucking weird over there. And that's why we got the hell out. We tried to tell you how awful they were. We tried to tell you, and you all thought that I manipulated the situation and took poor Harry away from his brother. I don't even know what to think. I go back and forth, like I do so many things. Oh, warn a warn all podcasters out there and people like me. I mentioned this maybe on my Patreon. I wanted to tell it again. I am getting these emails from several different podcasters and celebrities that have big shows in which they send it to my email. And it's a scam. It is not from the person. But the last one I got was from Joe Rogan. And it was funny because it came the day that we talked about Joe Rogan with Natasha and Moshe. And I said, why doesn't Joe Rogan ever ask me to be on his podcast? And then I get this bogus email, this fake email saying that I should come on the show for $2,000. And I just want to make sure that anybody that's getting an email like this from me, it's not from me. And anybody that's receiving them, it's a scam. Do not engage with these people. Don't set a call. Don't go on your Facebook. It's all a scam. And I believe John Christ, who's a comedian podcaster, he did fall for it and his Facebook was compromised and he felt stupid. And so it's still going on. I can't believe they're still doing this, but I need to share that. Also, this was super juicy. This girl went on TikTok. And they some of the comments were like, you need to find Kate Middleton because she did such a great thing. She goes, hi, I just sat on a plane next to this guy. If this is your husband, his name is spelled Brian with a Y. She totally describes him down to his watch, the color of his wedding ring in which she took a photo of his hand, described his backpack, his shoes, everything, the flight he was on, where he was going, that he probably FaceTimed you and your young child after. But the minute he got on the plane, he opened up his phone and he set up a dating app account, a Tinder account for the city he was going in. And he even had an album on his phone saying dating app photos just for when he goes into town, he could grab them and start a profile. And I mean, it's going... As of today, it had, you know, probably many hundreds of thousands of views. But wow, guys, do not do, or girls, if you plan on cheating on your spouse, do not do it on the plane with someone sitting next to you, especially a chick like this, because for sure this wife has gotten this info. For sure somebody has sent this to her if she didn't find it herself. So good luck to her. Also, Joy Behar chimed in on the Sharon Stone story that we talked about. And she's like, saying that, you know, oh, she's just doing all this to be relevant again. Well, the story was in her book. Everybody is on podcasts and doing interviews, talking about their lives. She has a long career. And it's just such an annoying thing to say, oh, you're just trying to be relevant. No, it's my life. It's my life. And I'm telling the story. Billy Baldwin said it's not true that she actually made sexual advances to him and he turned her down. So he's annoyed that she's talking about it. But again, Sharon, come on Juicy Scoop. Let's talk a little bit about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion part 3. So Kathy comes out and just then Sutton has like a weird shaking, almost like fainting type of situation. And definitely Kathy was not very sympathetic to it. She was like, oh, well, she's probably afraid of me. I was about to go after her. I don't know what she was going to go after her about, but she leaves and Garcelle goes with her. And then it's really just Kyle and her talking about their relationship. And they talk about Mo, that he left her husband's agency to start his own. And she was fine with that. They were fine with that. But she didn't want him. They didn't want him poaching clients or agents. And apparently she said they did. And then Kyle was like, I don't want to talk about that stuff. I don't want to talk about that stuff. And I really feel like she's like, there were just some things with Mauricio that I knew and that I would put up with. And I just couldn't put up with it anymore. And it was just stuff that I saw that I couldn't unsee. And I watched that. And then I went to bed and I went on my phone and I see that Mauricio is doing TikTok dances to Beyonce. He's doing a TikTok dance with his friend in the snow. And then he's doing I couldn't believe it was his TikTok. And then he's doing another TikTok of him working out and he's doing jump rope. And I'm like, I think that's what she couldn't unsee, is that Mauricio is doing TikTok dances. And she's like, why? I think that was enough for her to be like, I can't go on. So they get into the Morgan Wade thing. There were some discrepancies in her story. She said, we were hanging out Stagecoach together. And then she said, if I come and support you for your event for your friend who passed, you have to be in my video. But for the sleuths out there, we filmed this video before the rumors came out. But then you see them talk on the set saying, we're doing this video, we're pretending to be in a lesbian relationship because the rumors are out. Again, I've talked about this more than anything this year. Are they scissoring or not? Is she doing lickety splits with Morgan Wade or not? I now say yes. And I am waiting for the cover of People, of them sitting down with their legs entwined and saying, yep, we're in love. Something like that, with the way they look at each other, the way they talk to each other. And then she said, yeah, I don't know. I'm open to whatever. And Kathy was like, I just want my sister to be happy. Now, if I had a friend who people were assuming I was having a romantic relationship and I wasn't, I would be like, that's ridiculous. Like, she's not at all sexually interested in me, but yes, we're friends. Other people are like, no, it's not happening, but she likes the PR. Now I'm going back to say 100% they are romantically involved. And the marriage broke up because he, you know, she couldn't put up with the flirting or the cheating or whatever anymore. And I thought it was really interesting. She goes, we've had these fights before, but then with all the travel that we both did, I thought we'd come back together, and then we didn't. And I think in that interim is when she got really close to Morgan. And there is an anatomy of an anatomy of a marriage that's 28 years long. So I thought it was really interesting. Some people thought it was boring. I can't get enough of it. And then we see Mauricio talk about why he left Hilton and Highland, Paris Hilton's dad's company, and start his own on his new show on Netflix. And Paris chimed in. At first, I did not know if this was actually Paris, but according to everybody else, it is. Paris writes, my father is a consummate gentleman and has always taken the higher road. He would never speak negatively about his family, especially in the press. Frankly, we are all sick of him using the Hilton name every chance he gets to plug his lame show. It is enough already. That's what Paris says. So that's hot. Yeah, so I think that the family is gathering around Kyle. I think they're glad to get rid of him, and she had no problem saying that mean thing. However, their cousins are on the show. So I don't know, but they're also masters of social media and reality TV. But it is a fun situation to follow and watch. All right, you guys. Remember to go to heathermcdonald.net for Patreon for more shows, more live shows, adding those all the time. I will be in Palm Beach next. That's April 5th and 6th. You only go to heathermcdonald.net to get those tickets. All right, and now for my interview. I have returned Juicy Scooper, mother, wife, singer, podcaster, reality star of Vanderpump Rules, the one and only Sheena Shea, good as gold.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been a minute.
I know. I'm glad when you were like, okay, let's get me back on.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we could make this work because you're a busy girl.
So busy. Hence why I look the way I look today. I've just been running around nonstop.
You look very cute.
Thank you.
Stop. So much is going on in your life.
Yeah.
You just bought another house.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're in the process of moving.
Yes.
And are you excited about also being a Valley girl with everyone else?
I am. I think once I get settled in the house and I'm not living in boxes where I'm like, do I have a matching outfit? Where are my shoes? Where are my toiletries? Yeah, I think I will be very excited. It's a great location. I can walk to Lala's house, and that's just really exciting too.
It's so great to see your friendship and then the girls. Now, is your daughter 3 yet?
She'll be 3 next month.
Okay. We just saw mm-hmm. each other at Ocean's Party. And I mean, it really is fun to watch all the little girls and Stassi's daughter, Hartford.
I know.
And like, it's just like, it's really fun and how close you guys got. And I even saw one mini Vanderpump situation happen between Ocean and Summer.
Wait, what?
It was a heated moment.
Did they get into it?
It was just like, it was bubbles. It was a bubble gum.
Oh,
the bubble gun.
Yes.
And Ocean was doing it right at Summer. And she was just like, girl, it's not my thing. Rather
yeah.
you not shoot it right at my face. And Ocean's like, sorry, like it's my party. But then they, just like you guys, they got over it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They got over it pretty quickly. So I think we're okay.
Even this morning we were at Sky Zone because today is Ocean's actual birthday.
Okay.
So we took the two of them and Ocean did like a boop to Summer. And then Summer's like, mom, she hit me. And then Lola's like, did you hit her? And she goes, or did you try to boop? She goes, I tried to boop. And she was like, okay, well, let's just not boop people in the face. But it was like just a little like, meh. But they fight like sisters. They love like sisters. And I just love that they actually will get to grow up together and go to school together.
Because you guys also have your Palm Springs house.
Yeah,
she bought
the
house next door.
There. Yeah.
You what?
Like we share a wall.
Right. It's right next door. I've been. And it's so great. And I love it that you guys are all there.
I know.
Support for today's Juicy Scoop comes from Honeylove. Whether you are a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/juicy. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/juicy. I have told you guys how much I love Honeylove. My shapewear has given me a waist I've never experienced. It is the G-string, suck you up to just under the boob. It looks so good. I also love the super power short. That is really helping ladies everywhere just sculpt and smooth from the stomach to the thigh. It never rolls down, and this is the thing to make you feel hot and sexy. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/juicy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. honeylove.com/juicy. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Juicy Scoop and tell them I sent you. Move with confidence thanks to Honeylove. A lot of Juicy Scoopers ask me about my hair. Thank you very much. How do I style it? Well, it can be very time consuming until just recently, because let me tell you about Way's new anti-frizz cream. This lightweight cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. Also, there's heat protection up to 450 degrees, because you know I use the curling iron and the curl brushes and the hair dryers. Also, it helps reduce and repair split ends, which is something I really need, while quenching dry hair with intense hydration. I absolutely love it. And 90% of participants, according to a consumer perception study, said that their hair looked less frizzy. Frizz free up your schedule with Way. Go to theway, theouai.com, and enter promo code JUICY for 15% off any product. That's theway, theouai.com, promo code JUICY. So what episode are we on? Like five?
Here's the thing. I don't know, because I've seen up to 14 at this point.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, what episode just aired? I think it was seven.
Okay. Yeah. We saw you guys in Lake Tahoe. Uh-huh. And you had a tough weekend because you took a photo with a fan, which, by the way, that fan must be loving life.
Oh, my gosh, right?
I mean, her face is all over the show. So I've always said that you guys are always so nice, and I tell my Juicy Scoopers, go up to the Vanderpump cast especially. They'll never not say no to a photo. So you guys are out filming, doing your thing, and you take a photo with this girl, and you put your arm around, and Tom Sandoval is next to you. And so then the next morning or that night, it gets posted. And what were some of the things that you were getting that were so upsetting from online?
Oh my gosh. I mean, just every insult in the book. I'm not a girl's girl. I'm disloyal. I'm a flip-flopper. Of course, I'm friends with him again. Like, all of this based on a photo that we all hopped in. And usually I have my phone in my hand, or I have my string ting, as you see. And I put my arm just like as I'm holding my phone. It wasn't like my hand was even wrapped around him. I just had my phone behind me and I was just standing. And I tend to tilt my head. We all know, thank you for putting me on my good side. I have a good side,
so
that
I
think. So
and that's why we're friends, because exactly. Your good side is not my good side.
I know.
Side.
It works out perfectly. But in the photo, it's like the way I tilted my head. Right. Like I just, that's just how I take photos.
Right.
And right as we got in, I was like, oh, okay, smile, and it'll be over soon. And yeah, and then it just got picked up by like Page Six, and all of these articles are being written, all of these comments are coming in, and it was just overwhelming. So I'm like, first of all, I haven't even had a conversation with him, and now the entire world is jumping to, of course, she's friends with him again. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right.
Let's not even.
So, and at that point, we see that you are struggling, because what year did you begin filming? Like, you were the spinoff. The Sheena Shea, and you weren't Shea at the time, story was the only reason this show had legs and could go from Vanderpump Rules, I mean, from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, right over where they walk into the next set.
Yeah, so seamless.
Is because there was a connection between you and Brandi Glanville and her ex-husband that you had dated. And so what year was that?
2011 is when we shot our pilot and it all started. And then the first season was filmed 2012. We were on air January 2013.
So is it crazy for you to think about the fact that you have been on this show for 12, 13 years? Like,
yes.
It's a third of your life. How old
yeah.
are you?
I'm 38, almost 39.
Wow, you look so young. Oh, I thought you were like 33.
Thank you.
but that's a huge part of your life.
Yeah.
And has there ever been a year that you were like, I just can't take it anymore and I want off this train?
I feel like there have been several years where you feel that way at a certain point, but then it passes and then you're ready to do it again.
Yeah.
Like season six, for example, the Rob season, when that relationship ended and I moved to Vegas, it's like, how could I go back? But then after living my life in Vegas, doing that show, I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go back. And then it just, you know.
And the show you did in Vegas was the How to teach a, what was
it? Sex Tips for Straight Women from a Gay Man. It was okay. An off-Broadway comedy, and it was so fun.
And you were kind of like one of the first Bravo reality people to do a stage show.
Was
now that I think about it, that was before Luann. That was before
it
knew
was
who Erika Jayne was. She was
2018?
She might have been performing at the time, but we didn't know her to be a housewife.
Yeah.
Before everybody started to do their variations of BravoCon on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get into it. So with Rob, you met this guy, and it was the classic line. You have so many like viral funny moments over the years.
Are we calling them funny?
Yes, I think they're funny. I think they're funny, okay? And it was, he put up a TV in 7 minutes. And the amount of people that still, like, now time their husband when they bring home a flat screen and all of this. And so you guys break up. And then he came on my show, remember? And I
You called me. I was living in Vegas.
Yes.
I remember exactly where I was when I got that phone call.
And I was like, I think he's still really hot for you. And you're like, I don't care. I am single. I am ready to mingle. I want nothing. And I was like, okay, well, I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, no, I was
kind of like a
full single mingle Vegas mode Sheena then.
Yeah, yeah.
Chippendales show this night, Magic Mike that night, Thunder from Down Under on the weekend.
Now, were you just living there on your own? Did it ever get lonely, like in the day sometimes?
I actually have family there.
Okay.
Yeah, I have cousins, I have aunts, uncles, and I have a friend group out there already. I've been going there my whole life. So Vegas has always kind of been a second home.
Do you think you're going to end up in Vegas at one point?
I think the next property I buy will probably be in the state of Nevada, yeah.
Yes, I talked to your husband about that, and I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that Lisa has so many, you know, cocktail bar, the little restaurant. People, I've not heard one person ever disappointed in going.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's great. You go, you have your one great cocktail, you have your, you know, little app, and then you're off to another thing.
Totally.
It's perfect. It's like, it's such a good model and so fun. And then to have other things that you can go and out and see. So let's get into the show because you got some shit because you are missing your friendship with Tom and you are feeling bad in the last episode. And you reveal that when you were not doing well financially during COVID, all of a sudden he sent you whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say the amount, but a few $1,000s.
Yeah.
And that really meant a lot to you. Well, now my question is, did you, when you started to do well in Sandoval, did you send him Venmo the money back?
I'll tell you after.
Oh, okay. but then you guys have this long friendship. And you said, when everybody was a bitch to me and we were on the red carpet, he was the one that was nice. So, why, you know, can I have a little sympathy that I have lost a really close friend and confidant as well, which I think is so compelling and interesting. And also you're on a show.
Right.
And you're not only in a friend group, but you're on a show. So it's like, you know, and as time goes on, like even the first couple episodes, you guys, you could see that there was, even though it had only been a few months, you guys were having a couple moments where you're able to sort of chuckle about it. And like, it's starting to, you know, comedy is tragedy plus time. It's starting to get like funny a little. There's some funny things about it, you know, of all that you guys have been through. But Katie was not having it. And Katie, in her thing, referencing you, is like, in her opinion, he never really cared about you or the friendship. Be a good friend to Ariana and move the fuck along.
It's easy for Katie to say when she's hated Tom Sandoval since the day she met him. She didn't have a 15-year friendship with him.
That's true.
He was the only person in this group who had my back when the show started and consistently has had my back. So that's where it was tough for me because I don't agree with what he did whatsoever. I stand by everything I said on my couch at the end of last season. He could have gone around this so many other ways.
Right.
But with time, you know, you can heal wounds. You can start to move past certain traumas. And that's what I was trying to do is, you know, yes, there were things that he said that were hurtful to me. There are things Katie has said, Lala, Stassi, Kristen, the list goes on. Something everyone on the show has said that's been hurtful to me. But he was the one who consistently had my back throughout all of this. So that's what I was just trying to express is like, it's not just black and white here for me. I do not agree with what he did to Ariana. And as the season plays out, you'll see more conversations between him and I where I really am standing up for her and trying to explain like it wasn't just the affair. It's the things you've said and done after. And it goes deeper than just cheating. So I needed to put a little perspective in his brain with that.
So then Lala is walking with Ariana and she's like, listen, Sheena is really getting a lot of hate for this stupid photo. Can you say something like, you know, and I understand, and I had this happen on such a small level where someone's like, you know, this friend of yours is getting unlawful hate from, but in my opinion, in my situation, it wasn't that many. And I thought by then bringing it up 2 days later on the podcast, it would give these losers the attention that they wanted. And I was just like, just ignore it. Let a new show happen and blah, blah, blah. But the other people still feel I was wrong and that I didn't do that. So I'm like, okay. So I understood when Lala was like, can you just, you know, say like, hey, Ariana stands, stand down,
right?
Whatever. But then I understood her side where she's like, at this point, everything I say, every comment, every, if I like something, if I write under someone's thing, if I, you know, it's going to become a headline. So I think her perspective was, I could relate to, of just like, you know, let me not say anything. And then she did eventually say something. And I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
That she was just like, look, you know, she's a sweet girl. But one thing she said, she goes, I know that, it's, you know, without saying the words, but it sounded to me like she thinks that you're kind of, because you are such a like sweet person and you are a nice girl, a good friend. People have said that for years, that she's like, he'll get back in and ingratiate himself through Sheena. And then I'll be the one in the end on the outs. And I thought that was like a really, like, I don't know, that's a possibility. I can see why she would think that.
She's never going to be on the outs unless she puts herself there. None of us are ever going to push her out of this group. We all love Ariana. I felt like when you're filming a show with someone, you kind of have to understand this isn't only Sheena's struggling with someone who, you know, has had her back for so long and they had a long friendship. It's also a cast member and we have a job to do. So that was very hard to navigate this season where I just want to have her back, but I also want to do my job. And it's going to be a situation where he's there and I need to have a conversation with him. And in those conversations that I don't want to say I was forced to have, but maybe, you know, wouldn't have happened for years had we not been filming.
Right.
There were things that I started to see where I'm like, okay, you are understanding my perspective. And
Tom was understanding.
Yes. Uh-huh. It was like when I said things to him in a certain way, he realized, oh, it's not just about the affair. It's not just about this. It was everything he did after. It was weaponizing her mental health and saying, well, I couldn't break up with her because she was going to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah,
it was so many other things that I'm like, you have to understand that it's not just the affair. And as I've had these conversations with him, I did see the light bulb click on where he was like, oh, I fucked up more than just this.
Right.
So as I'm having those moments and she's out here saying, well, he's never given me a real apology. Like, I deserve this and that. And I'm like, you're right. You do. So then I'm trying to advocate for her to him and be like, but you owe her this and that. And it's like, I was in the middle. And
right.
I'm in the middle of two friends, but I'm also doing my job. And it made it extremely difficult because now I'm looking disloyal when I'm trying to make her wish come true. I think that she wants a genuine apology, but then she doesn't want to talk to him. So how are you going to get the apology?
Yeah, it is very sticky for all those reasons. going back to what she said, being that I've experienced something similar, it's that, hey, go be friends, you know, find out for yourself, go be friends with who your friends. But then there's an event and now those people are all going to go to his event. And certainly she's not going to go. And now there's a moment happening between everybody and your ex that you're not a part. And then what can happen, TV show or not, is that then those relationships do get weaker. Because, yeah. And it's very unfortunate when a couple, mostly when a couple breaks up, especially what I've had, like a heterosexual couple, it really isn't that hard. We choose the woman. That's the end of it, you know? And it's like, Peter and I've never had a couple where he is as close to the guy or closer mm-hmm. as I am close to the woman or closer.
Yeah.
Or they break up and we both agree that the guy was weird and we don't want to fuck with him. And, you know, like, so it is very, your situation, TV show or not, is very unique because it was a friend group in which you guys had friendships before they got together, mm-hmm. you know, versus like if Peter and I were to meet a couple through school and five years later they get divorced and we're like, oh, what a bummer. We had all these fun dinners, but okay.
Yeah, it wasn't a Lala and Randall situation. Exactly. Randall, easy to cut out, you know?
Right.
I knew him because of her. That was not my friend of many years before this.
Yeah, and when she asked me one time, we were talking, and I would talk to him too, but I did meet him through her, and they came on the show and everything, and I thought they were this fun couple, and I mean, remember they're supposed to get married in mm-hmm. April? I mean, she's got to think, sometimes I say, as awful as COVID was, if COVID didn't happen, she would be married.
Yeah. She might not have Ocean. I wouldn't have Summer. So many things.
Like, yeah. So like she might have gotten married and been like, oh, this could wait, or mm-hmm. or now I have to go through a divorce or whatever.
Yeah.
But when they went through all their stuff, when it first happened, he was like texting me because I didn't believe it at first. So mm-hmm. I was kind of like, wait a minute, these fans are getting involved. It's a photo across the street. Who knows? And right. da-da-da. And then one time we were talking on the phone and we were talking about the latest thing that had come out about how it was the chocolate diamond that he got made into.
Right. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God. And she goes, you know, I have to ask you. Maybe it was before this. She's like, I have to ask you, Heather, like, you got to decide. Like, what? I already decided. I'm not going to continue anything with him if I'm not actively picketing his home, but I'm not going to hang out, talk to him on the phone with him, whatever. And so that's a good point, because then when people would bring up, you know, oh, but Lala, you asked everyone not to be friends with him, the guys or whatnot, don't go play pickleball with him, mm-hmm. whatever. There is that.
It is different.
But it is different. And he wasn't, and he's not staying on the cast.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, you know, if Vanderpump Rules ended season 10, there was no season 11, I don't think I would have had as many conversations with Tom Sandoval over the past, you know, 8 months as I have.
Right.
We've been on a show filming for 10 weeks together at BravoCon, at, you know, different events and whatnot, where it's like none of this probably crossover would have happened had we not gotten picked up for another season. So I think things would have panned out very differently if we weren't forced in situations together.
Right. So Ariana, is it Ariana or Ariana?
It's either.
Okay, good.
It's either.
Okay, it's either, either, but it's, or Rachel Raquel. No, just kidding. Okay, so I just didn't want to say it wrong because I hear it both ways.
Her mom said it one way growing up, her dad said it another.
So she's okay.
Either way.
Both. Okay,
yes.
I just didn't want to be disrespectful to her. Okay.
Yeah.
So, what I loved, what you displayed, is why I think you are an incredible reality star.
Thank you.
And also, I think Jax Taylor is too, for this exact same reason.
You're comparing me to Jax?
Who you are. The whole point of reality TV is that you're being real. You're being authentic. It's not scripted. You're not pretending to be something you're not. The Sheena that we saw, you know, 13 years ago is still the Sheena today. Yes, you know, you've matured and you have better makeup and better outfits mm-hmm. and all of that.
Still cringe.
But you're still who you are. And I feel like I have that too. Like, but in it, what makes, I think, you so likable to me, at least, is being authentic. And I've been that way too in this business. And being like, fuck, I'm happy for my friend, but I'm going to be honest, I'm a little jealous. I thought it was my turn. I'm so glad it's her. I'm glad it's not someone else, not from our show. But I really thought this was going to be my year. And I loved that you were honest about it. And the people being like, oh, she's a pick me girl, whatever. When you're in this business, you go up. You would, for me, you'd go on auditions. And one time it was a panel show and they wanted a diverse panel. So when I saw my friend who was also white, and there we were like, oh, there's no way, even though they're picking five people, there's right. no way the two of us are going to get it. What a bummer, because we're yeah. so funny together. But, and then you're like, oh, but you still want it. But if your friend gets it, and it's someone who's not in Hollywood can't understand what this is.
Totally.
This is an acting auditioning thing where you can be really good friends, but still.
Yeah. I kind of want to elaborate on this a little
yes,
more too, because
do.
You didn't see the full conversations, obviously. You
okay,
can't
yeah.
see every minute
yeah.
of every conversation. But the reason why it stung a little extra was because the previous season when Charlie D'Amelio won, I'm very close with her family. I was at the finale, Teresa, Shangela, Gabby, like I had so many friends on that season. So we're at the party after, as they always do on the CBS lot. And I had two producers and a costume designer come up to me that night. And they're like, oh, my God, how have you not been on this show yet? They're like, where's Dina Katz? We need to find Dina. We got to introduce you, like you need to do next
She's
season.
She's the casting
yes.
and executive. Yeah.
She had already left with Charlie to go do Good Morning America on the flight. And so they were just like, okay, we're putting your name in. And for months, I kept in touch with these people. We're friends on Instagram. I saw them at different D'Amelio parties and whatnot. And they're like, you're right up there. So I was like, maybe I should just start taking some dance classes.
Which is totally
just
smart,
in case.
But it's totally smart to do.
Yeah.
I had another friend who was on it, and that's what she did too. And I would do it too.
Yeah. So I really
get,
did.
And I would get shoes made for my fucked up feet so that I wouldn't have
I got the shoes.
Cancer. Yeah.
I actually started taking some
shoes.
Dance classes with Raquel because uh-huh. she was like, oh, I want to get back into dance. And I was just like, you know, just in case, just get a little technique down. And it was
yeah.
something that also, it's like a workout. Dancing
right,
is so
right.
much fun. And then I got a call from my producer friend that first week in March. And he was like, I just want to say, like, you know, we're starting to put names out there. And yours was the first one that I was going to recommend, but after everything that's happened, I'm pretty sure they're gonna reach out to Ariana. And I was just like, yay. Oh, I was like, oh, I'm so happy for
yeah,
her. But also it was just
her,
like,
and you also see the executive decision of why that
of
was
course.
Gonna bring more eyes to the show.
Yeah.
And
but
then,
it wasn't just I thought because
right.
of Scandoval,
right.
I'm gonna be on Dancing with the Stars. And I've seen
right,
that
no.
chatter online. I'm like, no, for months, producers
right.
were like, all right, next season,
good,
next season.
Yeah, totally an obvious choice, really. But I thought her answer, in everything I've seen her do, I think she's answered so gracefully mm-hmm. and like so respectfully of everybody's, you know, reactions to her and her success and any kind of digs that could be interpreted as digs. I think she sees where it's coming from. So I think she's come off great. And what she said was like, I think this will only bring more eyes to have people from our show. And most hopefully, you know, Sheena will do. I have some insight that I need to share with you.
Okay.
And we talked about, you guys talked about blind items and like Reddits and stuff regarding Jax and things. And there is a item that came to me, I don't know how to tell you this, it's that a newer cast member of Vanderpump, they're seriously looking at her, and I have a photo of her, and so I just want to prepare you, but they're saying this is the new person. It's Summer Moon.
Yeah.
She's only been on the cast for 3 years.
Damn.
And they said she's a natural.
Yeah.
They said her dad's a stage dad, and he's going to get her on. And, no, I'm just
there's
kidding.
No, there's no competition.
Did you think I had any scoop? Did you think I had any scoop?
You got the juicy scoop.
I was just like going through your photos, and I saw her little ballet outfit, and
yeah.
I was like, Oh my God, what if Summer Moon gets on Dancing with the Stars before Sheena?
No. One day.
But I totally saw that whole thing. And also that you were just having a rough week when you were laying in the bed in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah,
it was just
and
a
I
weird
was sick,
fucking weekend.
And I never get sick. Maybe once every other year, I actually am under the weather.
Yeah.
And I woke up that day and I was like, oh, no, no, no. It was like I was already so drained emotionally that then physically it just, the icing
right.
on the cake.
And the other thing someone wanted me to ask you about was the real like postpartum OCD thing that happens mm-hmm. and being nervous as a mom and like thinking the worst. And how are you doing with all of that? Because you shared that part as well, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, you'll see more of that. I'm happy about later this season. It's something that is a battle every day. I didn't for one second question if I was going to talk about it this season. I feel like in my postpartum journey, season 9, I definitely talked about a lot of these things, but we were trying to figure out, you know, how to make a show after a pandemic. And
yeah,
there were other things, I guess, that were more important to tell. But now that I'm able to talk about it and share it on the show, not just my podcast, has been so incredible because I've had so many women reach out like, oh my God, me too. And it's gotten better. I got on Zoloft for a bit. And then before I just committed to an SSRI, I wanted to try some
What's
more,
SSRI?
Like just that type of prescription
oh, okay.
medication. And I wanted to try some more natural ways, maybe microdose mushrooms, see if that, you know, does wonders like people say. And I didn't really feel the same relief as I had from the Zoloft. And so I went and saw Dr. Amen, who is incredible. Brock and I both got brain scans, and he saw an OCD brain and an ADHD brain. And through his supplement
plan. Wait, do you
plan,
have both, you mean?
No, Brock is the ADHD.
Oh, okay.
OCD, ADHD.
Got
and
it.
And so
what
he
a fun
put
combo.
Us, right? But he put us on a supplement plan to help balance our brain chemistry. And it really has helped us as a couple.
Awesome.
So much, but also the intrusive thoughts, when they peek in, instantly my brain is like, that's not real. In a more sense where I'm not watching the entire thing play out and then just like thinking about it over and over. It's like.
So you would think of some like the worst case scenario
mm-hmm.
and then you can't get it to remove, you can't remove those thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, about your daughter and about like.
Just something happening to her. And
yeah.
I think also I've been doing a lot of EMDR work. I've been doing exposure
oh, okay.
therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even with that, it's helped me in situations where now things like I literally watched her fall off the couch and break her arm. But I stayed calm. I got her to the ER and we did it. And it was like one of my biggest fears. But I was like, okay, she's okay. You're okay. And so I feel like it's getting better. It's easier to manage. It's not as debilitating as it was in the beginning. But,
you know, I only found out about this like a year ago,
mm-hmm.
which I think is makes so much sense in when I look at how Peter and I would worry about our kids differently.
Mm-hmm.
And because I carried my own biological child, you probably know this, but I did not know this, that their cells are still in my head.
Yes. How wild is
and
that?
And I'm like, this explains everything.
Yeah.
This is mother's intuition. This is why I worry, you know, about things differently than Peter. And it doesn't mean that Peter's not a great parent. But
yeah.
I've said this to my friends. Like, I even had a friend going, you know, who's divorced and their kid is older. And she's like, I mean, I just can't believe that my ex isn't doing this and this and spending
mm-hmm.
this and this time. And I go, but he's a man. And she's like,
yeah.
What do you mean? I go, it doesn't mean he's a bad dad. He's just not a mom.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not a mom. And our like thing, you know, like I was doing my schedule for my stand-up and stuff. And like I had to move a whole thing around because Brandon chose a school. And I'm like, I have to be there to move him in.
Yeah.
I'm like, I literally wouldn't move. Like, I would not miss that for $1 million. And Peter's mm-hmm. like, really, for $1 million? I'm like, yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
For $1 million. I'm like, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
So nobody offer me anything on that Oregon State, University of Oregon moving. Because I'm like, there's just certain things where I'm like, Oh my God. And it's part of that. And I think sometimes your partner, if he's a man, can't totally understand mm-hmm. without it being explained even in a more medical way of like.
That's what worries me about if we do have another, we have to do a surrogate because I got HELLP syndrome and almost died in labor. My doctor's like, look, if you're going to be not ready until you're 40, I do not recommend you carrying. And that's the thing I worry about is, am I going to have the same bond, the same intuitions, the same feelings with a child that I don't carry? I know for so many people, you know, it's not an option to carry. And that's where I'm at now, too. But after having that experience, I'm like, do I even want to do that?
Well, Khloe Kardashian was extremely honest about
it. I know,
and
I really appreciated seeing that.
She carried True and she didn't carry her son. And mm-hmm. I loved that. Yeah, sometimes it's not as easy as, oh my God, I have the means.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just not, you know? And speaking of your husband, Brock, so one thing I thought was really interesting that I saw is that a podcast host, Nick Viall, who I know and think he does a great job, but I didn't appreciate that he, for whatever reason, was talking about Vanderpump or whatever, and talked about you and Brock, and he called Brock, like, on the payroll. What did he say?
So Charlie did his podcast and referred to Brock as a payroll husband. And then
oh, Charlie,
Nick,
who used to be on Vanderpump. Okay.
Yeah, and then Nick continued it on the podcast that he did with Katie and Dana and asked, like, oh, well, what do you think about the payroll husband or whatever he said?
And that really pissed me off, too, mm-hmm. because I experienced those types of jokes and comments. And this was, you know, 10 years ago when I was on Chelsea Lately. And I would just, like, let it go because, haha, we're a comedy show, we're all comics, whatever. And Peter always said it didn't bother him. But, I mean, they would literally say these kind of things, like, on the round table. Mm-hmm. And my husband always had a career. Even when I was at Chelsea Lately, he was still being a mortgage broker. But he was the one picking up the kids from school and all of that. And thank God he didn't have a job thank God he wasn't a lawyer that was, like, traveling around the country to go to court. But that would have been more respected. That would have been, they would have been happier with the fact that I had, like, a live-in nanny mm-hmm. than the dad who is doing his thing his own way.
Yeah.
Which was like, oh, there's no bath, but we went swimming and then I sprayed him with a hose after. I'm like, whatever, they're alive. What am I going to say? He's the stay-at-home dad. Like, there was just things like that. And it all obviously has worked out. But so I was like, good for you guys being like, that's fucked, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then with the group, I was the only mom at the time. And then the guys started having kids with their wives. And I'm like, and I still never said this because I'm not a mean person, but I wanted to be like, oh, are we going to talk about your wives that don't work mm-hmm. and they're home with their kids? Like, what losers?
Yeah.
Why aren't they medical doctors? Why aren't, like...
I know. There's so many double standards. And it's like, I would rather Summer be home with her dad.
Of course.
Than a nanny and rather than my mom. You know, I would rather her be with one of her actual parents. And if I'm working, I love that he is as available as he's been over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the best. And he's such a good dad. And anyone who follows him on social media sees, like,
so
the
cute
reels he does. You know, if, like, there's been two times I wasn't able to take her to dance class because I was in, I think, New York for Watch What Happens Live and had something else. I was filming something fun with Katie recently.
Good.
And I couldn't go to her dance class. But he does his little videos with her, getting her ready. And it's just, he's such a good dad. And yeah, I mean, she's so lucky to have him.
Yeah, but did you ever get an apology or anything?
Oh, no, he's doubled down. He just posted another reel I saw of me like 2 days ago, which I did have to go and comment on because someone was like, keep Sheena's name out of your mouth. I said, but then how would he stay relevant? What else would he talk about if it's not me?
Well, it is interesting, you know, as someone who's been covering all the Bravo stuff for years. My show is going on 8.5 years. Sorry, but I don't want to brag. It's one of the Yay. Oldest ones. And the reason I've always been so involved with the shows, you know, Housewives and whatnot, is because I am a woman and I've been through all these things. And the shows are mostly based on women's experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's fine that straight men are getting into this space, but it's a little bit like,
come on.
You're not talking about, you know, itchy balls.
Right.
I can't experience that.
Also, he's someone who surrounds himself with women in like their early 20s.
Well, yeah, and his wife, well, I don't know, they're engaged, but, and congrats on their baby, but
yeah.
Was she a podcasting host before she met him? No, they had great chemistry, and that's what's great about podcasting mm-hmm. is that it's, you know, it's a conversation. So if you have great chemistry with your spouse or your girlfriend or whatever, and then, yeah, now they have their own thing going, but it's like, it's not like, you know, she was an accredited podcaster and like, right. you know, she's famous because of him, which is great.
Yeah.
So then if you have that situation, why are you trying to be ever negative about somebody else? And
I know.
And this is, and when reality life, you're being yourself, you're being your life. And thank God you have a partner who wants to participate. There's a lot of Real Housewives husbands
mm-hmm.
that really don't. And those shows, I think, suffer some, you know, that we don't get to see the dynamic of the relationship.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we cleared that up. Okay, so then mm-hmm. we get to Lala. Lala and Katie got into it.
Uh-huh.
And it was good. It was, they both had good points.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, don't you talk to me like that. And she's like, don't you talk to me about like that, you know? And it's like, and Lala is so funny because she'll tell me, she's like, oh, I went Lala on her. I went full blown Lala on her ass. Like it does come out. Even though she's this, you know, pregnant mama and she can be fun, it still comes out and it's not an act.
Mm-hmm. And, no, it is not.
And so I thought that was pretty juicy.
Yeah, definitely.
That they had their moment about it. And so anyway, it's all good. Now, this came out. I'm telling you, I think this is a funny tribute.
Yeah.
Only because whoever put this together, I don't even I can't even imagine how many hours it took.
Oh yeah, this is a similar
Have you
thing
seen
that
this?
No, but I saw the one that Nick did and he took all of these old scenes and stuff and I'm like, of course, there are scenes about me. That's not
for 13 years.
Obviously, that wasn't what I meant. I was just meaning I'm never allowed to be like emotionally affected by something that goes against the grain.
Right. Okay. So this girl, Christina, but maybe at Coco Coco put it together. I don't know. I found it on TikTok. And I was like, I would love it if someone took all my moments together and got into it in editing bay because like I can't even, and of course it's a lot of moment, like little chunks of you saying the same type of thing, or it's not about me, but it is about me, but why can't it be about me? But it's not to make it about me, but so I thought it was like totally funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. And so it's always been about Sheena. Well, you're a reality star, so
yeah.
But like again, I like the honesty. I think that's what makes you, and why you just keep going.
Yeah, and I think with when I said that time specifically, obviously I was completely emotionally drained from that day and the meditation and just everything having to film with him and being put in this position.
Yeah,
but from the time Scandoval broke, obviously I just was Team Ariana. But I was genuinely affected by this from Tom and Raquel. James was genuinely affected by this. Jesse Montana. So many people in this group were personally affected, but we weren't allowed to be because it was only about Ariana. And so what I was trying to articulate was just like, but can I just have a second where people can understand that, like, I was affected too. James, Jesse, like, the list goes on
and
on.
There were other casualties.
Ariana's brother, Jeremy, was very affected by this. This was someone who he considered a brother for the majority of his adult life. Like, there are so many people who outside of, yes, they didn't get cheated on by Tom Sandoval, were affected. And that's all I was trying to say. But nothing I ever say comes out the right way.
Right. So Rachel Raquel has her podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened the other day.
Actually, how do you do that to yourself?
Because I was coming from the Palm Springs area to go to do the ocean party.
Okay.
And I was like, let me just hear just to see if there's something. And it's so interesting because she said something that I thought she thought would be a diss, but I didn't think it was. And it was, she said, well, Tom Sandoval taught me this. It's pretty like shocking or something like that, that don't have a conversation off camera. If you have something to say, save it for camera while you're filming, because that's what makes a better reality show. And I'm like, that's great. That's real.
Yeah. Duh.
Like, I was like, that. I mean, I know from Megan King Edmonds, like Megan King Edmonds, that's her from Real Housewives of OC.
Yeah.
Before she and her husband got divorced, because she did the ultimate mistake and had a threesome with somebody, and then he went with, now married to the girl that she invited.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Cautionary tale. Anyway, so she, one time I like interviewed her, and it was still while they were together, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, you know, Megan, like, he is so crotchety on camera. Like, he so wants nothing to do with you. And she goes, that's because I've already come home, told him the whole story that happened on Girls Trip, and then we'd have to reenact it. So he'd already heard the story before. Mm-hmm. And most men are like, you know, not dying to hear a story twice.
Right.
So then he comes off crotchety, but he probably was anyway. So I'm like, well, this is great advice. Like, we don't want to know that you reenacted it. But it's right. Almost like she was like, so, I mean, yeah. And I'm like, well, what? That's good advice. Like, that is good advice for being authentic.
I mean, that was one of the first things I told Brock when he joined the show. I said, there are going to be times when I come home, we would normally have a conversation, but if we're filming together the next day, we'll have that conversation then. I don't want to have to retell you.
Right.
I want your real reaction. I don't want you to sleep on it, have the night to think about what. It's just like, no, you have those conversations when there's cameras in your face. That's your job.
Oh, that was the other thing Nick accused you of.
Oh, rehearsing scenes with Brock? I heard that too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't think so at all, but I was.
No, because we literally, the opposite. I don't talk to him until there's cameras.
Right. And then you were doing the bikini bathing through shopping thing.
God. Yeah, that was rehearsed. Like, come on.
And that one I totally related to too. How you're just like, no, like. I'm not going to do that. Why are we saying that here? And, you know, I get how he's like, where he's coming from too, but I thought that was really real. But I also thought his apology was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought that was good to see too.
Totally. And that's the thing. It's like, we're a real couple going through real issues, raising a kid with slightly different parenting styles and just trying to navigate that. And
yeah,
that was something that, you know, I was okay to put out there on the show because I do think it's relatable. Everything is not perfect. And I feel like I've been guilty of that in my past relationships where I try to paint a perfect, pretty picture to the world.
Right.
And behind closed doors, it's not always been perfect. And after the Rob relationship and the whole Adam of it all, but, you know, I said I was
Apple
never.
The Apple Watch.
Oh, that was Max.
Oh.
Adam was the penguin. Anyway.
Oh, wait, you got a penguin for him.
Yeah.
Named Adam.
It was a charitable donation to the Aquarium of the Pacific.
Was it a gay penguin? Do you know that penguins are, a lot of them are gay?
I did hear that, yeah.
And they go and get eggs from like their female friend who's like, I don't need to raise this kid, but you and your gay boyfriend can have it. And then they go take the egg. It's kind of beautiful.
It is.
I just figured since you live in we're living in West Hollywood at the time, I love that you chose a penguin.
Yeah, that was his favorite animal. And I was just like, how
Where
can
is
I
it
get
now?
This
Adam
guy back
now?
At the Long Beach Aquarium?
Have you ever gone to visit him?
No.
Where you have to go and take Summer and Ocean and go visit
Pink, I know, right?
Adam and see what he's up to.
Yeah, but
didn't
you
also
do
a star or no? Was that somebody else?
No, Brock got a star for me.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. And then recently for our anniversary, he got me the coordinates of the place we had our first kiss put on this like really cool plaque that like lights up and it was really unique and special. Yeah. He's very thoughtful with the gifts. But
yeah.
I did say when, you know, after season 8 pandemic, I have a baby. I agreed to come back to the show season 9. I said, we're putting it all out there. If we fight, we fight. We're not saving our fights for when we get home. If it ends up on camera, then we deal with the backlash, you know, if there is any once it airs. But I wasn't going to try and be like, everything's perfect, and then go home and be like,
yeah, good.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about your wedding Do you feel, I remember there, you know, you had Rachel Raquel as a bridesmaid. You did do a funny photo and like put Lala's head on her or whatever. Is there any part of you, and maybe you're over it now, that was like, wow, now the memory is a little bit tainted, or are you okay with that?
Because no.
the relationship was going on behind everyone's backs at that time between her and Sandoval, and you didn't know.
Yeah, I had no idea. And at the time, they were two of my closest friends. So there was no doubt that I wasn't going to have them in my wedding. So
right.
I don't have any regrets. I mean, I wish Lala was also a part of it, but I felt like her and I were still working up to where we are now. Like today,
yeah.
I mean, she would be standing up there right next to me, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
It's just taken some time to rebuild that friendship and trust.
Right.
But at the time, the people up there with me were those who were closest in my life.
Yeah. Good, good. Okay, this is from my thing.
Oh.
So they said, this is from my Patreon, because I talked a little bit on my Patreon about this. They said, I love your take on Vanderpump. It's so refreshing. Sheena gets so much hate in general and has since season episode one. But what you said is so true. I'm glad that the years of fans dragging her hasn't changed how honest she is. I saw a comment on Instagram that said, anyone who can't understand Sheena being happy but also jealous has never auditioned for a part that their friend got. People have always said these storylines are fake, and personally, that's how I feel about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But Sheena is always just who she is. And like her or not, I appreciate that. It makes the show dynamic and relatable, which is why I like reality TV.
Very I appreciate nice. That. Yeah, you know, call me cringe, whatever. I do think I'm often misunderstood, but I always try to be me. I try to be true to who I am. And if I live in the gray at times and people disagree with that, I can go to sleep at night knowing that I made the best decisions that felt right for me and to make me the best version of myself, to have inner peace for my daughter.
Was there a moment in the last 13 years where you were able, I mean, we saw you get upset in Lake Tahoe for all those reasons, but where you kind of made the switch of like, okay, I can't read this stuff, or I have to do something therapeutic where I don't let the haters make me question myself.
Yeah, actually, when season six was airing and I was living in Vegas for 5 months at least, maybe a little longer, I completely deleted Instagram and Twitter from my phone. If I had a funny thought, I would text my sister and I would tell her to tweet it for me. I had Snapchat because no one could respond to me on Snapchat. So I would still post there. So I was doing something. I would save my video, send it to my sister. She would post it on Instagram story. And she was like, you got to stop using the Snapchat filters. Instagram's like getting better with theirs. And it's like obvious you're not using the Instagram filters. So for those like 5-6 months, I just completely disconnected. I started my podcast during that time and I just stayed out of the comments because I felt like mentally that was what I needed to be in the best headspace, because it does. It gets so toxic and negative, and you know, people can only take so much. Even last week, the last 2 weeks actually, haven't really looked at anything. I did get sent the Nick Vile reel.
Yeah.
And I just had to just leave a little comment because why not? But I didn't look at anything else that was on there. It was just like one of the first ones was like, keep her name out of your mouth. And I was like, but then what would you have to talk about?
Yeah, I like it. Okay, real quick. Joe, we see Joe, who at the time is friends with benefits or maybe just friends mm-hmm. with Tom Schwartz. And okay, first of all, the hair, she's a hairdresser. I mean, look, I don't mean to rip her apart. She agreed to be on the show. But I saw the funniest thing that someone said on TikTok, and it's not my idea, but I thought it was brilliant. And the girl goes, I feel like Joe is what Gen Zers do when they make fun of millennials. Like, ah! And like do like faces and she's like, oh! And she's like, oh! Like, it was so, I was like, what? Okay, what, give me your opinion on her. What's going on?
Yeah, it's been very interesting to watch. And because I'm now so many episodes ahead, just prepping for the reunion, I have seen many more scenes of her. She's an interesting person.
Does she act like that when the cameras are
yes,
not there?
She's always
oh,
like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not like a shtick. Like, she's always like that and has been for years.
And was she ever featured on the show before, really?
No.
Okay.
No. And I think it was a big betrayal to Kristen after, you know, she was let go from the show for Joe, her best friend.
Oh, they were best friends.
Yeah, they were inseparable, like together four times a week. And after all of that happened with Kristen, Joe was just like, fuck that show. And, you know, like so hardcore had her back and then moves in with Schwartz and then starts filming. And it was a huge betrayal for Kristen.
So they don't talk anymore.
No.
I saw Kristen and Jax and Brittany, you briefly, at the Valley premiere. And Janet, who is now one of the cast members, I've talked to her throughout the years. And I was like, Now, I know you knew the group, but like, how did you even know the group? And she's like, I had just moved here and I went to the Mondrian and there was some event and you were there and she walked right up to you. And you, she said, in her words, you guys got drunk, had the best time, exchanged numbers. And then you called her and was like, isn't tomorrow your birthday? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, what are you doing? And she goes, well, nothing. Like, I just moved here. I don't know anybody. I'm not going to party. And you're like, and she said, you said, get ready at 9 a.m. And you picked her up and you took her to Disneyland and mm-hmm. you made her wear It's My Birthday pin.
Yeah.
I just needed to let the world know what a nice story that is.
Thanks. Yeah, she kind of goes into a little more of that on my podcast next week. I don't know when this one will come out in comparison. But yeah, we just hit it off right away. And I knew she was going through a divorce. There were similarities with our ex-husbands and the reasons why we wanted out. And once she moved to LA, I just clicked with her right away. And yeah, I knew her birthday was coming up. And I'm like, you can't spend your birthday alone. Like, I've got a season pass. We'll get you a ticket. Let's go to Disneyland. Put on your Mickey ears and your It's My Birthday pin. And we had the best day. And I think that just kicked off our friendship.
Now that she has her own show and is on her own show, is there ever a time where you worry that maybe not her, but other friends that were not on the show or now on the show that it would ever, I mean, granted, her show is not the same as yours, but who knows if there'll ever just be a crossover with mm-hmm. you in the Valley. Like, I don't know if I would love it. I'll be honest, because I'm honest. I don't know if I would love it if my friend that was always just a friend that came to everything is now on a red carpet and everything too. I'd be happy for her because she seems like she's nice.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, a little worried in this business, like, if you were ever to be on the Valley years down the road, would that ever get weird?
No, Janet and I have already had a weird fallout in our friendship during the pandemic, and we made our way back from that, and I don't really ever see that happening again. I think we both understand each other way better,
oh,
and sometimes friends, you know, Lala and I, we had the same thing happen, and we are better than ever. I think sometimes it takes something like that for you to realize who is really important in your life and who you want in your life long term. And sometimes those breaks make you stronger as friends. So I don't worry about that with her. I'm so happy for her. I think she is hilarious. Her husband is amazing. He is the voice of reason. The fans are just going to fall in love with him. And I'm happy that she has this opportunity because when she was on Vanderpump with me, but then she started becoming friends with Dana. And then there was like the, oh, I'm gonna have a threesome with Dana and Max and things that were just rubbing me the wrong way.
Wait,
and
did
I
she?
Was like, and she didn't. But it just started to get a little weird. And then we went into a pandemic shortly after season 8 and just kind of went our separate ways for a bit. And since we've come back together, it's like we can look back and laugh at some of these things. But
yeah.
I think she's going to be really great on this show, and I'm really happy for her. And I think the only way I would maybe have the like, ugh, is if I was unemployed, you know? If I'm like not on my own show, and then here's someone I brought on the show doing her own thing, and I'm out of a job. But, you know, I hope Vanderpump continues for a while. I hope we continue to do crossovers, as you saw in the premiere. You'll see more of that in the upcoming episodes. And who knows where the future for either show goes, but
right.
I think it's very easy to integrate them. And every single person on the Valley is genuinely a friend of mine who I talk to on a regular basis.
Yes. And that's what I love and why I think in some of the years of Vanderpump where it felt not totally authentic mm-hmm. is because they did go the route mm-hmm. of casting
yep.
versus like truly the only people that really work and get end up on the show is if they end up dating one of you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that is how Rachel Raquel got on. That is how, well, actually, that's
or
how James.
Or your nanny.
Or that, yeah. Oh, right. We're going to see that, right?
You'll see a
We're
lot
gonna
more
We're
going
to see the nanny with, yeah, like what? That's going to be juicy. We see in the trailer, Katie making out with your female nanny.
Yeah. She also went on a date with Schwartz.
Amazing. So that is all juicy, and I love it. All right. I know you have to go. So tell everybody where they can catch everything.
Everything is just at Sheena, S-C-H-E-A-N-A. I have new music on Spotify and Apple Music with the 27s. We have even more coming out, a full EP. I'm excited to get some more shows lined up in LA and hopefully across the country with them. And yeah, you know, new episodes of Vanderpump Rules. And my vlog comes out every Wednesday. Podcast comes out every Friday.
I love it. I love you. I'm so glad you came.
Me too.
And I will always be for you. And I like the honesty.
Thank you.
And it can be about you, Sheena.
Thank you.
It can always be about you.
I love you.
Let's go Dancing with the Stars next year. Not give it to Summer Moon. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.